Welcome to the St Ninian's Community Church Lent Podcasts. Thank you for listening. It's Graham here again. Well, as we begin another week of our Lent podcasts, and as we continue our theme of encounters with Jesus, today's passage takes us to Matthew chapter 8, where we're going to read verses 5 to 13. This is what we read there. When Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him, "Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and in terrible pain." Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." But the officer said, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say, go, and they go, or come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to those who were following him, he said, "I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel. And I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world, from east and west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. But many Israelites, those for whom the kingdom was prepared, will be thrown into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the Roman officer, "Go back home. Because you believed, it has happened." And the young servant was healed that same hour. Well, here's another passage, which when we read it through at first, it just seems like another miracle story, another story of Jesus healing somebody who was sick. And yet this particular story, when we scratch beneath the surface, ought to actually stir us up a little. Because again, it's one of those stories surrounding Jesus that seems to turn everything upside down and on its head. Why do I say that? Well, the main character in today's story is a Roman officer. And right away we have a bit of a problem, don't we? Because here is a Roman soldier, a man of violence, a man of the occupying forces who are governing over the land of Israel at this time. And many people, when they were longing and hoping and praying for God to send his Messiah, were actually just looking for somebody who would come and throw these very pagans out of their land and restore Israel to its people. These people were regarded as the enemy in more ways than one, not just because they literally were the occupying force, but also because they were seen to be the very people who were opposing the will and the promises of God. This, after all, was supposedly the land that God had given the Israelites, and here were people controlling it and pillaging it and stealing from it, and going against God's eternal purposes, surely. And yet this Roman officer comes to Jesus, and he doesn't even come on his own behalf. He comes because his servant is lying in bed, paralyzed, he says, and in terrible pain. And all of a sudden, the stereotype is broken, isn't it? Whereas most of the Jewish people, when they were thinking of the Roman soldiers, immediately their hackles would go up and they would see these ruthless pagans, these men of violence, these anti-God sort of people. And here is a Roman officer who not only is demonstrating a humility and demonstrating a trust in this rabbi, but is also a Roman officer who is showing a massive amount of tenderness and compassion to his servant. There were many in Israel at that time who would have had slaves and seen them as no more as objects. And many times have we already seen a healing, and the people, especially the rulers and the Pharisees, when Jesus healed them, all they could think about through their legalistic eyes was whether this happened properly and at the right time or whether it was the Sabbath. And Jesus had to constantly criticize the people and say, where is your compassion? You have more compassion over your animals. If you see an animal in difficulty at the weekend, you would do something about it. But when you see somebody sick on the Sabbath, then you somehow think that God would turn a blind eye. How can you be so hard-hearted to the pain and the suffering of people round about you, God? Jesus is in essence saying here. Be here with a Roman officer who is none of these things. He's not hard-hearted. He's not judgmental. He's not as bloodthirsty as you think. In fact, when you get to know him as an individual, you realise he is a compassionate, warm-hearted man. Jesus promises, I will heal your servant. And look at his immediate response. Number one, it's a response of humility. I'm not worthy to have you come into my house, he said. He knows he's a pagan. He knows he's the enemy. He knows he's a man with blood in his hand. He knows he's a soldier for the empire that is seen as so hated and opposed to what God would really stand for. He knew these things. And so how could he have a rabbi? How could he have this man of authority and this man of power and this man of righteousness and holiness? How could he have him come under his roof? He wouldn't dare expect that of this man of God. He demonstrated humility and he demonstrated a real faith. He said, you've got power. You've got authority. You just need to speak the word. I mean, he said that. He said, I get authority. I'm under authority as a soldier and I have people under my authority. I know what it is to obey orders. I know what it is to give orders and expect them to be obeyed. I get authority, he's saying, and you have authority. And you just have to speak the words and my servant can be healed. And again, we can think of the many conflicts that Jesus had with his own people, the religious people, the God-fearing people, the chosen people, conflicts over authority. Who gave you this authority, they keep asking? Where did John the Baptist get his authority from? Jesus replied, what authority do you have to heal on the Sabbath? What authority do you have to upset the things in the temple? What authority do you have to do the things you're doing? He was constantly asked about his authority and where it came from. Not so this Roman soldier. He just recognized Jesus' power and authority and bowed the knee to it. You just need to say the word, he said, and my servant can be healed. And so it was done. And Jesus spoke the word, and the servant was healed. And look what he says. He turns around and says, I haven't seen faith like this in the whole of Israel. I haven't seen faith like this amongst all anybody and all people that regard themselves as God's chosen favoured ones, the people who think that they're God's friends and God's anointed ones and children of Abraham and all these things they thought about themselves. Jesus says, I haven't seen faith like that in any of these people. But here in somebody who they've written off and sees an outsider and is a pagan, boy, he demonstrates more faith than I've seen anywhere else amongst those who supposedly love, follow, worship, and obey Yahweh. And so Jesus gives that warning. He says, you know, in the end times, when there's the big feast, when the kingdom of God fully and finally comes to completion, he says there are going to be tons of people there from throughout the world, from east and west, from the most far-flung places, the farthest places of exclusion are going to be sitting at that table. And many who had names on their placemats set aside for them will be absent. because of their lack of faith. No wonder Jesus says they'll be full of weeping and gnashing of teeth, as those who were in the inside, who had the opportunity and the experience to enter into the fullness of everything God had for them, are outside weeping and wailing, thinking, look at the opportunities we missed. Look how close we were, and yet how far away. How could we not see what God was doing in our midst? How could we be so blinded? How could we so put things of religion in place first that actually when the Son of God was in our midst doing something new and real and powerful, we actually couldn't enter in and enjoy it as we should? Does that challenge you? Because it challenges me. It's good news for those who see themselves in the outside. It's good news for people who think they're too unworthy. It's good news for those who think that because of their lifestyles or because of their upbringing or because of any whole range of things that somehow God wouldn't be interested in them. It's good news for them because Jesus is saying you too can have faith and sometimes more faith than those who are supposedly religious and call themselves by my name. The warning to those who do call themselves by Jesus' name, who claim to be friends of God, followers of Jesus, open to his spirit, how sometimes we can be the last people to expect and want and receive an encounter because we're too busy critically analysing whether it's all being done in the way that it should be done. There's a word of warning. And yet, while Jesus lifts up the centurion as being a model of faith, there's still something a little bit sad, I think, in the story there. I don't know about you. You see, when the soldier comes to Jesus and says, you know, my servant is unwell, he doesn't even ask, it would seem, for a healing or a miracle. I guess that's what he's wanting, but he doesn't even put that request to Jesus. He just states the problem. And Jesus' immediate response is, I will come. I will come to your house and I'll heal him. And as we've just said, the centurion says, no, Lord, just speak the word from a distance. And I find something a little bit sad because as much as the centurion demonstrated faith and a recognition of Jesus' authority, and as much as he received his miracle and his servant was restored, Jesus, I think, was offering a little bit more than just a miracle and a power encounter. He was offering himself and a personal encounter. He was willing to come into this person's house, just like last week we looked to Zacchaeus and Zacchaeus, I must come to your home today. Do you notice the number of times Jesus doesn't just come and say, I want to have a power encounter in your life, but he comes to people and says, I just want to come into your home. I want to spend a little bit of time with you. I want to hang out with you. I just want us to be together. But the centurion just wanted his miracle. He just wanted to see his servant healed at this moment. But I wonder how much more he still missed out on because he wouldn't allow Jesus into his house because of his own shame and sense of unworthiness. And I wonder if that can be our problem sometimes too. That we actually get a sense of Jesus' authority and power and his ability to change situations and bring healings and all these things. And we go to Jesus perhaps daily with our prayers and our requests and our lists of needs and all these things. And there's nothing wrong with that. But maybe, well, we come and say, Jesus, I want you to speak the word in that situation. I want you to exercise power and authority in that situation. Maybe Jesus is saying, I'm willing just to come and hang out with you today if you want. I'm willing just to come and be part of your life, to walk with you through the journey, to speak to you and to hear your heart and to share something of mine. So as we're thinking about encounters with Jesus, yeah, maybe you have a big need. Maybe you need a miracle. Maybe you need to learn from this centurion that even if you feel unworthy and undeserving of it, that actually Jesus still ignores these things and doesn't look at the labels that other people put on us. Maybe he's still willing to reach out even to you. Maybe we need to come, yes, and say, Lord, speak the word, because you speaking a word can change situations. But maybe as we think about encounters with Jesus, it's not just about a power encounter, a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit, a new sense of God's splendor and majesty. Maybe Jesus says, I just want to deepen our friendship. That's the encounter I'm looking for. I'm offering not just a power encounter, but a personal encounter. I want you to know me and to love me and to be loved by me and to know my presence and to know the affection I have for you. So yeah, as we come this Lent time, hoping for encounters, let's not just be thinking about fresh power encounters, but let's be looking for deeper intimacy and a deeper openness when Jesus says, yeah, I'll come to your house. I'll come and enter into your problems in your life. Let's not shut them out and say, no, Lord, just do the requests, just utter the commands, just perform the miracles. And we forget actually that above all things, he wants to know our hearts and for us to know his. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this story. We thank you that it reminds us once again how you see through the way things appear. And Lord, while we very often see in black and white those who are deserving against those who are undeserving, those who have faith against those who don't have faith, those who trust you against those who don't trust you. Lord, we think sometimes we've got it all sussed out, and yet you come along and say, do you know, it's really far more messy than all of that. Some people on the inside aren't really as in as they think they are. And some people on the outside have greater humility and adoration and trust in me and recognition of who I am than those who bear my name. Father, help us to stop deciding who's in and out, writing people off, thinking that somehow because of their lifestyle and their choices that you're not going to show up in their lives. And Father, for those of us who are listening who feel unworthy, who feel undeserving, who feel that perhaps you might not be interested in us, Lord, again, let us learn from this centurion who put that behind him, who chose not to focus on all the things he had against him and why Jesus wouldn't heal him, but actually was just moved by compassion and brings his servant before him and expects you still to do things even for those who are unworthy. And Lord, yeah, we can confess, sometimes we want a wow moment from you. Sometimes we want just a Holy Spirit moment, a moment of power, a moment of real encounter with something special. Whereas you just want us, and you just want our friendship, and you just want our heart, and you want us just to be friends, and not to see you just as somebody who produces the goods, but as somebody who loves us and wants to be friends with us, to be a brother to us, and to walk with us through life. Give us that sort of encounter, we pray as well, Lord, that we can see how much you just desire us and our time and our friendship. Please bless everyone who's listening to this, Lord, whatever their situation and need may be. May you speak into their lives. May you reveal yourself to them. May you give them an encounter with love, with grace, and yes, with power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.